Yeah.
A new listener.
Wow. A lovely new listener.
Wait, we have a new listener?
Yeah, we have three now, I think.
Shouldn't we
Maybe
meet
four
our
or five.
New listeners? Like,
Welcome to Clubhouse Radio, live from the Catskill Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Accra, Catskill, Hudson. That was No Guidance by Chris Brown feat. Drake. We're here in front of our studio audience preparing to bring you Our Town, Our Truth. Mass incarceration part 2. We will kick off our show after the local news and weather.
Sweet like Pearland, sweet like Peachtree. Like that. I could tell you crazy, but you kinda intrigue me. Yeah, I like that. Seen it on the ground, trying to see that.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Eric Anderson reports in the Albany Times-Union that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission reversed itself August 28th, allowing the Constitution Pipeline Project to go through in Schoharie County. The State Department of Environmental Conservation had previously denied water permits to the $750 million 121-mile pipeline that would bring fracked natural gas from Pennsylvania to Schoharie County. But this week, FERC decided that the DEC had waited too long to reject the water permits, so the pipeline was back on. Environmental and local activists said the project endangers local waterways. Wes Gillingham, associate director of Catskill Mountain Keeper, who also said a new lawsuit against the project would be filed, said, and I quote, "The pipeline would cut a large swath across eastern Catskills and damage the water," end quote. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union. Sarah Tapton reports in Columbia Green Media that usually a municipality will hold a public hearing before taking action, listening to local opinion before changing something. The Village of Catskill is holding a public hearing September 25th about a pair of new stop signs on Woodland Avenue that are already in place. The signs are at the intersections of Day Street and Woodland Avenue and Grace Court and Woodland Avenue. Catskill Village Trustee Peter Gross said, and I quote, "We had complaints of people speeding on Woodland Avenue. We also had complaints of the road being used for a shortcut. People were not going to the intersection at Spring Street," end quote. But the 2011 New York State Traffic Sign Handbook for Local Roads says stop signs are not recommended to control speeding. According to the manual, and I quote, "There is some evidence that frequent stop signs may actually increase the speed between signs. Excessive use of stop signs can lead to disregard for them," end quote. Grassi said the board will likely vote on the same night as the hearing on whether to approve the stop signs that are already in place. More about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Nick Reisman reports at Spectrum News that both Democrats and Republicans have rosy views of how their parties will fare in the 2020 elections. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins said August 28th that Democrats will grow the majority. She said, and I quote, "We will begin next year with 40 members. My prediction is a minimum of 43, end quote. New York State Republican Party Chair Nick Langsworthy earlier in the week said his party lost the Senate in just one election, and he believes they could win back the 18-seat deficit in the next election. Langsworthy said August 28th, and I quote, "Coming out of that last session, there's no way they should be reelected as a majority. What they accomplished was completely irresponsible, shoved down the throats of New Yorkers at the expense of taxpayers," end quote. But Republicans could face a much higher turnout from Democrats in 2020 who want change at the top of the party's ticket. Read more about this story at Spectrum News. David Lombardo reports in the Albany Times-Union that on August 29th, state officials approved the outstanding $7.825 million in funding to hold early voting this year around New York. State Budget Director Robert Majaika said in a statement, and I quote, "There was never any question that the full $10 million to support early voting would be made available, and the full amount has been approved today," end quote. Local election officials, burdened with the mandate to hold early voting without the funding, sounded alarms recently. County election officials are supposed to get $15,000 per early voting site, with extra money available for places with high concentrations of voters. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands On Radio Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. Today starts in the upper 50s. Temps will then rise to the mid-80s by 3 p.m. This afternoon we'll have a chance of isolated rain with a small potential for thunder. Tomorrow will be nice, certainly the better of the weekend days. Clear with lows in the mid-50s and highs in the mid-70s. Sunday we'll have similar temperatures with rain likely. Over on the river, we can see that we are experiencing king tides. The water is coming up more than a foot over normal high water marks. Watch out for that. Today's high tide will be at 3:32 p.m. Low tides will be at 9:54 a.m. and at 10:05 p.m. Water temperature will be 74 degrees. Looking beyond the clouds, we can see that some upper latitude states will have an opportunity for auroras over the weekend as the previously described plasma streams reach our magnetosphere. Solar wind speed is currently 388 kilometers per second at 7.4 protons per milliliter. This has been the Better Weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXE is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program. Thank you.
just listening to Silvea's song, which is how you know you are listening to Clubhouse Radio. We are here presenting 1 hour of Our Town, Our Truth. We're doing part two of mass incarceration. Specifically, we're going to be diving into what's called the school to prison pipeline. I am DJ Phoebs, and I am here with...
Naya.
Naya was here with us yesterday as well, and sat down with DJ Silrea and Isha and XXX Tentacles to really dive into your all's experience at school, and what discipline looks like in school, and all the complexity of what you get in trouble for, and what that's made out of, and what responses are useful and which ones aren't. So, before we jump in, through a combination of Naya and I talking today and then listening to some of the content from last week, or from yesterday, I mean, that we did pre-recorded, shout out to Silrea, Isha, and XXX Tentacles, who are all in Oneonta right now, actually performing at the Tracks program in Oneonta. So that's why they can't be with us live, but they gave us lots of great content yesterday. So shout out to that. But anyway, all views that we will express here on Clubhouse Radio are only our truth, and they may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse's parent organization, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. So with that, I'm going to take a minute and allow y'all to kind of introduce the topic, just picking up from our introduction of that yesterday. So, give me a second. Yeah, all right, here we go. So,
school to prison pipeline.
So, there's kids in school that are being sent out of school and arrested in school and
because of their race.
Because of their race, and there's been statistics that show that black kids and colored, like just kids of color, are being arrested in these schools or are punished harder than their white peers just because
their race.
We watched a video.
We did watch a video, and we're going to hear some clips.
So y'all did watch a video?
Yes, we did.
And like right out of the gate, right, it's calling some stuff on its face, talking about the fact that the way moving through school, what school discipline looks like, plays out on racial lines. And this video, I think, helps put some facts behind what y'all know to be true just from your own experience. This is a video called Breaking Down the School to Prison Pipeline that was posted by The Root about a year ago. So let's give that a listen.
What would you do if your child was placed in handcuffs for crying at school? Well, this was a reality for a 7-year-old black boy in Missouri. And it isn't rare for black and brown kids across the country. Whether it's getting arrested for talking back or doodling on a desk, in-school policing is harming students by taking them out of school and helping funnel them into prisons. It's called the School to Prison Pipeline. We're talking about a structure of codes and punishments that criminalizes kids as early as preschool and increases their chances of ending up in the criminal justice system. 99% of New York City school children who were handcuffed in 2016 were Black or Latinx. This happens when school resource officers are called into classrooms to discipline students, sometimes for something as small as violating a dress code or grabbing candy from a teacher's desk. If the offense doesn't lead to an arrest, black and brown students are still subject to harsher punishments than white students. Black students are 4 times more likely to be suspended than their white peers. Sometimes students are kicked out of school for basically just being black. Like in cases across the country where black girls were suspended for rocking braids or an afro. So where do students go after they've been kicked out of school? Research shows they're 3 times more likely to end up in the juvenile justice system within a year. This is all part of an endless cycle. Once kids touch the juvenile justice system, they're 67% more likely to end up in jail again before they're 25. So, what lessons are schools and police really teaching our kids here? How can kids excel in school if they're always being kicked out of them?
So when posed with that question, Here's what our DJs had to say about that.
If we're never in school and they're always kicking us out of school, but then they yell at us for not learning,
people gonna fail.
They are contradicting themselves.
You know?
And people gonna fail.
People gonna fail big time.
There is this song by Joyner Lucas called I'm Not Racist.
Oh no.
And
don't
some,
put it on.
Some kids get like some kids get suspended for certain things. But like,
I didn't know you could get suspended for your hair. I yep. know you can get suspended for your clothes, but I didn't yeah. know your hair.
You can get suspended for your hair color.
Yeah, I know.
True.
You can.
And also,
there was a
if you dye it, you can get yeah. suspended.
And also, like some like kids like these days of color, sometimes they look at it as like, oh, okay, this teacher's yelling at me. Okay, they're racist. Like, that's how some kids, like to look at things
you
sometimes.
You look at things like that.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
It was good.
Yeah, I mean, I think XXS Tentacles is bringing up a good point, right? That, yeah. like, you look at the statistics, and it's clear that there's a racial disparity. And he's saying, like, look, I'm not trying to always say it's always about race. Like, I don't want to live in a world where everything is boiled down to that simplicity. But it's also real. And
yeah,
we need to
be
able to unpack that.
Oh, my God.
The kids?
Yeah, they're being racist.
And is it true?
I don't know. Some of them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them.
Mm-hmm. And, like, does the racism always feel like it's, like, a direct sort of racism? Or are there, like, more subtle ways in which maybe teachers don't understand black students that shows up as a racial bias against
sometimes
them?
Sometimes they don't understand or some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and that...
Like, sometimes, like, they say stuff. Sometimes they say stuff, but, and they don't, like, know what you're going through at home.
What do you mean? Say more.
When I was going through something at home, and they were just, like, being mad, like, rude and saying stuff, and I was just like, okay. And then, because they called my mom, and she was just like, why do you keep calling me about my daughter doing something when it's not always her, because it's not always me, and they just try to say it's always me. And then she was like, stop calling my phone.
Yeah, so... A lack of an awareness of what's going on in the broader world for you, what may be causing some of the issues that they're thinking about, misperception about that. Does that all feel like it shows up in this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I appreciated XXX Tentacles referencing the Joyner Lucas song, I'm Not Racist, right? Which is like a real kind of in-your-face sort of juxtaposition that he does of like... you know, kind of a white framework for looking at, you know, that a white person might have saying, you know, say to a kid being like, yo, school's so racist, right? And it's just like, all right, you know, they're kind of laying out this thing. It's like, oh, it's always an excuse and this and that, you know, juxtaposed then against Joyner Lucas's version of his rap, right? Which is like breaking it down. Like, you don't understand how I grew up, my context, so the shoes I'm walking through. A little bit of that song for us right now.
Screaming Black Lives Matter, all the black guys rather be deadbeats than pay your bills. Yelling this, that, call everybody, get a back. As soon as I say then everyone react, wanna swing at me and call me racist cause I ain't black. We'll pound that then, talking about slavery like you was around back then. Like you was picking cotton off the ground back then. Like you was on the plantation getting down back then. I see a black man aiming his gun, but I'd rather see a black man claiming his son. And I don't mean just for one day and you done. I mean, you still trapped in a rut. And I work my off and pay my taxes for what? So you can keep living off free government assistance, food stamps for your children, but you still trying to sell them for some liquor or babysitter while you party on the road because you ain't got no goals. You already late. You need to get your damn...
So there's a lot in this, right? About how black people are perceived in culture. And I think, like, that point he makes in there, like, oh, you're acting like you were a slave. You were picking cotton. Like, that's not the reality right now. And yet we've spent the last 3 weeks talking about how there's this direct link through history from the end of slavery supposedly through mass incarceration, mass imprisonment, mass arrest, being arrested for loitering, for not having a job, and then when you're arrested, you're allowed to work for free. So, you know, it's like the reality is, I think, as a white person, we don't get to sit here and pretend history is not relevant when asking ourselves the question of what do black students need to actually do well in school and to succeed and to thrive and to know that they're excellent and know that they deserve to be there and know that they deserve to graduate and have all doors and options open to them and not just fall into some sort of track or idea that you're going to be punished and you're going to be arrested and you're going to end up in jail. That continues to kind of like filter through the psyche, I think, of people.
We need
someone that understands. Because I would say a black teacher, but some black teachers can be like white teachers.
Hmm. Does that have to do with like the fact they have to work for a school that has kind of all the training and the mindset and
no.
of whiteness? Or what do you think that, where, what is that made out of?
No.
So when you think of your dream teacher, who are they?
My dream teacher?
Yeah, who's your dream teacher? You got one? Can you imagine it?
I don't have a dream teacher, but I have a favorite teacher that was a great teacher.
Yeah, what made them great?
Teachers now don't let you speak or hear you out. My teacher did.
Hmm. Yeah, and that makes all the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to play another clip from our conversation yesterday, and this one actually features you talking a little bit about what it feels like or the experience of having your behavior, which can lead to discipline, be misperceived by your teachers. So here we go from yesterday's conversation.
I just like, one time I was like this, but like, you know, like you can't sit, you can't sit straight
the whole class.
Yeah, like that's no, you gotta stretch sometimes.
You gotta stretch. You gotta crack your back.
And she was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm stretching because this is uncomfortable." And she's like, "Go to the principal's office."
All right.
Bye.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you can't do anything.
I'm just like, you know what? Okay,
I'll go.
And she's like, all right.
And then, when you say something back to them, you're like, yeah, okay, I'll just go to the office.
They're like, oh, so you're talking back now.
Look, she lied on me, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, because she rearranged everyone.
She switched the seats.
I'm not going to say I was being rude, but.
No, she wasn't.
I didn't know who she was talking about when she said to sit by. So I was like, huh? And she thought I said it in a mean way, like I didn't want to sit by him. And then I go home. My mom goes, so you said the kids think? I was like, huh? What? What? That never came out.
Anything more you want to say about that experience?
Okay, so we were like, she didn't let anyone sit down. Like, as soon as we got into class, she was like, nope, don't go sit down. Don't go sit down. Everyone stand up. Go stand by the wall. So I was with XXXTentacion and by the wall and some other friends. And we were just like, yo, what's going on? And because I didn't know she was going to talk, because when she's mad about something, because just the other day we had a sub, so I didn't know if it was about that or something. But when she's mad about something, like, she does not let you sit down. She's just like, no, 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 no. So I was like, okay, so what's going on? She's like, all right, so I'm rearranging everyone. And I was like, okay. So meanwhile, in my class, the person she told me to sit with, I said, huh, because there was two people that had that same name that started with an X.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so when she said, you're sitting with this person, I was like, huh? I was like, wait, huh? Like, which one? Wait, which one? Because she didn't say the last name. She just said, oh, so-and-so and Janiyah are sitting together. So I was like, huh? She's like, oh, you don't want to sit by them? You're being rude? You don't want to sit by them? Go to the office. And I was just like, huh? And then I got home, and my mom was like, you said that the boy stinked. And I was like, no, I didn't even say that. And she's like, that's what your ELA teacher said. And I was like, when was this? And then, because they have my godmom's number too. So she called my godmom and told my godmom the same thing. And then my godmom at church, she was like, what she said? She was like, when you go to school, you better apologize to him. And I was like, but I didn't even, she was like, hey, apologize. So then I go to school because it was a Friday that happened. So I go to school Monday, and meanwhile, I have a math teacher that likes to be in everybody's business and instigate. So I come in and I have math first. Suck at math. I have math first. And she's like, yeah, I know today in ELA you said he stinked. I was like, what? Where are you getting this from? What? And she's like, stop making up excuses, Janiyah. Stop. I know what you did. I know what you said. And I was like, what? Why are you lying on me?
I mean, I think what stood out for me is like, when you were telling that story, XXX Tentacles immediately was like, yeah, no, you weren't being disrespectful. That's not what it was about. And like the teacher's immediate response was to perceive your huh as a form of disrespect or being rude, right? And that activates then their headspace of like, and you got to go to the principal about it, or you got to get out of the class about it. And like that misperception, right, is something that is dangerous.
Yeah. And then the same teacher, because we have academic support, mm-hmm. and had her and another person, and like, she had everyone on Chromebooks, right? And she thought I was, like, because kids be making group chats on Docs and stuff like that, or playing games. So I'm doing my work, but, like, everyone has their own way of doing their work. So, like, I'm sitting slanted with the Chromebook slanted like this. Mm-hmm. So she's like, oh, what are you doing over there? I'm like, I'm doing work. And she was like, no, you're not. So she comes over. She goes, what did you just exit out of? I go, I didn't exit out of anything. She's like, yes, you did. You exited out of the game. I was like, no, I didn't. So, yes, I was rude that day. She says, put your Chromebook away. I go, no, I'm not putting my Chromebook away because you're saying that. There's something that I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my work perfectly fine, and you're coming over here bothering me for what reason? No reason. So she's like, oh, really? Go to the office. So here comes my math teacher. She goes, oh, my God, what now?
Uh-huh.
And then she goes, oh, she did so-and-so, right? So you want to know what my math teacher did? Send her right to the office. Right to the office.
Right, so either like you're misperceived.
Yeah.
Or you are getting punished for having a response to being misperceived, right? And being, like, mad about it.
Yeah, so I get in the office, and Mr. Shaw, the vice principal, is like, oh, God, what now? And then so is the one lady, like, is my mom's friend, Miss Salters. And she's like, she's looking at me. She's like, what happened? And I'm like, this is... Because she already knows I don't like Mr. Bossy. So I was like, she... Right? So then, meanwhile, I got seventh period, right? And I got Spanish next period. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to miss Spanish. So I'm like, the math teacher, I'm like, all right. Because normally you're supposed to only be in the office for that period and then leave and go to your next class. She goes, nope, you're staying in here until school is over, and then you can leave. I go, but I have Spanish next period. I can't miss that class. And she's like, oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm like, no.
So your punishment is to miss class.
Yeah.
Which is what you're supposed to be at school in the first place.
Yeah.
I just want to take a minute because we're getting close to the half hour mark and we're going to have to take a news break. But I want to get to the crux of this question. Like, is it racism? Because it is. Doesn't mean that every teacher walking around is explicitly a racist, but there is racism at play. And in particular, something called implicit bias that lives in a lot of people, pretty much anyone raised in America, to have kind of misperceptions about Black appearance or behavior or patterns or communication or language. And so one of the things that's important with school discipline is a lot of the early kind of things that happen that lead to larger punishment are things such as being, quote, disruptive or disrespectful or making excessive noise, right? These are like super vague, really ambiguous sort of things that a teacher has a ton of power to decide if that's what's happening in that moment. And your example is a great example of like something can be heard as disrespect. That's not disrespect. Something can be heard as being disruptive that's not disruptive, right? And so there was a study that was done at Stanford University to try to understand how teachers respond to behavior. And so they basically created this whole set of behavior reports for a bunch of middle schoolers. And every single record showed that the student had misbehaved twice, and they were both minor infractions and unrelated to each other. And then that took a bunch of actual teachers, K-12 teachers, had them sit down and look at those reports and decide how they would respond to those things. The only difference, and this is all set up, right? So it's a kind of a clean study, was the names that they put on those files. And so this is kind of racist in of itself, but basically had like more traditional African-American or black names. Examples they showed are Deshaun or Darnell, and then they had other records that have a stereotypical white name, like Jake or Greg or whatever. So when they did that, and what they found is just the difference in the name, having a black sounding name to a teacher, made it way more likely that the teacher in these like fake examples would choose to escalate the disciplinary response to the second infraction when the student was perceived to be black. And they also found that infractions by a black student were more likely to be viewed as connected, meaning that they saw the student's behavior as being a pattern of misbehavior versus like, oh, Jake just did two bad things. He had a tough week, right? But he's a good kid. So the study basically proves that there is something simply in the perception of somebody being black that changes how a teacher then responds to behavior and things like that. So with that bit of data and facts behind us, Naya and I are going to take a break and let you enjoy the local news update here on WGXC 90.7 FM. And then we'll get back at it, talking to you about school discipline and mass incarceration. Thanks for staying tuned. We'll be back with you soon.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. New stop signs have been posted in the village of Catskill at the intersections of Day Street and Woodland Avenue and Grace Court and Woodland Avenue. The signs were installed in early August following a traffic study conducted by village police. Trustee Peter Grassi said the study was prompted by concerned residents. High speeds on Woodland Avenue have been a persistent problem for many years, he said. Previous village boards have voiced concerns about danger to small children and other pedestrians. Grassi said Catskill police monitored the street and confirmed that drivers were ignoring the posted speed limit. However, the state does not recommend stop signs as a method of speed control, according to the State Traffic Sign Handbook for Local Roads. Trustee Joseph Kolaski said the board followed the suggestion of Department of Public Works Superintendent Michael McGrath and Police Chief David Darling. A stop sign was also recently added at the intersection of Bridge and Spring Streets, he said. Darling said in the case of Woodland Avenue, the volume of traffic was the issue, not speed. He said, and I quote, "People were using it as a shortcut to get to the bridge," end quote. A hearing for the village officials to receive public comment on the new signs will be held September 25th. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Robert Gavin and Mike Goodwin are reporting for the Times Union. Cohoes City Court Judge Thomas Marcel quietly withdrew his name from consideration for a seat on the federal bench after his nomination was blocked by U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. President Donald J. Trump nominated Marcel for U.S. District Court in October, but the nomination was never acted on by the U.S. Senate, which confirms the nominations of federal judges. Marcel, a Slingerlands resident, blamed the demise of his candidacy on Gillibrand after the Democrat refused to file a blue slip, which signals a senator agrees to allow U.S. District Court nominee to proceed. A spokesperson for the senator confirmed that she withheld the blue slip because of, and I quote, "concerns with Marcel's record on reproductive rights," end quote. When Marcel, 57, was nominated in 2012 by Albany County Executive Daniel McCoy to be county attorney, his nomination was opposed by the Empire State Pride Agenda, among many others. Marcel withdrew his name in a June letter to the White House. Senators were notified about his decision in early July. Read the full story in the Times Union. Blue slip. Diane Valden is reporting for the Columbia paper. The Taconic Hills Board of Education has changed the way district residents register to vote in annual budget votes and other school district elections. On June 19th, the board adopted a resolution stating the district will change to a system of poll registration and I quote, no longer provide for personal registration of voters, end quote. But it is unclear what that means in practical terms. School Board President Bonnie Torchia said the board, and I quote, is going to come up with a policy to go along with our resolution, end quote, and plans to conduct a forum and workshop to collect public input at some future time. Prior to the annual budget vote and school board election in May, when residents already registered to vote were denied absentee ballots after district officials determined those residents had failed to produce adequate proof of residency. Officials argued that being registered to vote with the Columbia County Board of Elections was not sufficient evidence of being a qualified voter in the school district. Columbia County Democratic Committee Chairman Keith Kanaga received complaints in May from Democrats about the problems they ran into with voting at Taconic Hills this year. Change said the committee had retained the services of a law firm that specializes in education law to help the committee formulate questions about the differences in voter registration systems. He said he found the information provided by the district hard to understand. Kanaga said the committee's hope is, and I quote, to be helpful, end quote, to community residents, not to take a partisan position. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Dan M. Clark is reporting for the New York Law Journal. State Judge August 29th struck down the cap on outside income for state lawmakers that was implemented by a committee last year as a compromise for a $50,000 raise over a three-year period for those same officials. In his decision, Albany County Supreme Court Justice Richard Plankin upheld the pay increase. Plankin's ruling does conflict with a different decision on the matter from June. With two differing opinions, the stage is now set for the issue to be examined by the Appellate Division, 3rd Department, sometime soon. The New York State Compensation Committee capped the amount of outside income at 15% of a lawmaker's salary and eliminated stipends for most members of the legislature serving in leadership positions. Plankin ruled that while the committee was free to make recommendations to the legislature, it did not have the power to make a cap on the matter earlier this month, which resulted in the decision handed down this week. The Attorney General's office said it was reviewing the decision. Read the full story in the New York Law Journal. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a happy and safe Labor Day weekend.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio, live on WGXC 90.7 FM, broadcasting Acra, Catskill, and Hudson. This is DJ Phoebes and
Naya.
And we're here talking about our town, our truth, giving you the lowdown in Catskill on the realities of the school-to-prison pipeline.
Mm-hmm. And mass incarceration part two,
our town, our truth. So this is our last show on this larger mass incarceration topic, and we're diving into the specifics of how school discipline can set kids up to end up being in the criminal justice system down the road. And this, the increasing sort of presence of disciplinary practices in schools that model kind of the adult criminal justice system, which I think is really sad when a school kind of functions like the police state and the rest of the world. It'd be nice if it'd be a sheltered place where y'all could just chill out and learn, but alas. So at the top of the hour, we had played a video about the school to prison pipeline. We're going to do the same thing now for any new listeners who might be joining in. And then We're going to, you know, continue to hear from us as well as DJ Silreya, Aisha, and XXX Tentacles about this topic from a conversation we had yesterday. So,
am I in that one?
I think you're in this one.
Okay.
Yeah, and if not, you're live, so you get to talk. You have the power.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you got the power. All right, so here's our video. This is a piece that was put together about what's called the CARE program in San Francisco. So it's a YMCA-led reentry program that is designed to intervene and provide supports to folks who have been disconnected from the school system because of discipline. So this video features folks who have been in that program and talks about their experience with what is called the school-to-prison pipeline and just how quickly and insidiously kids can get kind of caught up in this cycle.
Oh.
So here we go. Maybe. There we go.
Daquan.
It's a prison pipeline.
Daquan.
Yeah.
I was born into a homeless family, and I grew up in the slums of San Francisco.
I mean, I've been on probation since, I know I mentioned earlier, since eighth grade.
The first gun I ever had pointed in my head was when I was 12 years old by a police officer.
Typical story, you could say.
That's the first time I guess I was perceived as a problem.
I got involved, I got caught up in the system, then they sent me to group homes and arrested me again.
I spent 90% of my teenage life in juvenile hall, in the juvenile system.
Next you know, I'm 17 going on 18, I'm still on it. I'm just like, oh my God, like these guys will never let me be free, they'll never leave me alone. Any little thing, oh you missed school, I'm lucky.
And that's where the school to prison pipeline starts.
So the CARE program is Center for Academic Reentry and Empowerment, CARE. And basically, they're a truancy program in the form of a school.
Youth are disconnected from their school. They end up in the streets and they end up in harm's way. And then ultimately, they end up in prison or dead. We address the behavior, we peel back the layers, and oftentimes we discover it's learned, it's trauma, it's things that have happened in the community.
How I first got under probation was an incident with a teacher at George Washington High School. We was both in the hallways, I was bouncing my ball, and he said I hit him. I did not hit that teacher.
After I got arrested for something I didn't do, my whole mindset of the system is I don't want nothing to do with it. You guys are something else. You guys set people up for failure.
But as I go back and I recollect, I could have easily got taken to the principal's office instead of having me carried out in the back of a police car.
When I finally came back here and came into my senses, they helped me look for jobs.
We provide services for them to find their self-worth and become self-sufficient.
I hear a lot of kids always say things like, well, you guys actually care about us. You guys actually have our back.
Most kids are stomped on and crushed early.
It's very difficult to transition, to turn your life around. And that's why we have this program.
So that was video we watched together yesterday. And, you know, it's striking to me how many of these kids' stories starts with something being misperceived or, you know.
A lie.
Yeah. And then that snowball effect, right? Like once that perception's there, you're kind of caught up in the system.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, the one kid naming, like the fact that I was in there for something I didn't do, like really turned me off and like gave me some attitude about it, right? And so then you're getting punished for your attitude about it.
Yep.
And that spiral can be really, really tough.
Yep. That's what a lot of teachers do. They make up lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to jump ahead in the conversation from yesterday to more of a description of, you know, kind of like what does school discipline actually look like in Catskill, right? And y'all are in different grades, so this covers a little bit of a different span of experience, which is useful. And I think really you know, I think the question for me is like, are we, we're listening to these videos and these things and stories, like, are we overstating the issue in Catskill, or do we need to be paying attention to this and make sure kids are okay? What do you think?
I think that, what was the question again?
Question is like, everybody talks about the school to prison pipeline, right? This like idea that's out there. Mm-hmm. When you think about Catskill, is it relevant? Oh. Like, does it feel relevant, all these things you've heard and the videos you've heard?
Kind of, but Catskill doesn't have that.
Doesn't have that?
It doesn't have, like, a pipeline for you.
Yeah, you don't actually feel like there's a pipeline yet, like, going into where kids are ending up in the juvenile detention centers or things like that,
well,
after they get kicked out?
Well, I mean, kind of.
Kind of forget about those kids sometimes, right? Because they're out of sight, out of mind.
I had a friend that brother... Like, they would always, like, have him, oh, wait, no, they had him expelled, and then, like, he couldn't really do any work, and then, instead of having him, like, go to a different school, they made him, like, go to the library and have a tutor.
Yeah. Did that work?
Well, I guess.
Yeah. So... so yeah, let's take a listen to this bit of the video.
And then there was this other kid that was like, he was like family to me. And he the cops were always like worried about him or something, or like on him, like how that one person said, like they won't leave him alone. And they were at the school, and he was so scared that he ran out of the school, and they chased him.
That comes up in this video we're going to play. I think XXX Tentacles brings up that point, right, of, like, what it actually does to the psyche for kids to have cops in school. That can, like, really mess with you.
Yeah, that freaks people out.
Yeah, so, all right, so let's jump into, this is kind of a conversation and discussion about what does it actually look like when you are sent to the principal, and what are some of the other aspects of the discipline system that we got going on.
They send you to the principal, they send you the vice principal, and Mr. Shaw, when you, like, if you get into, like, an argument or something happens with the teacher, they don't really let you explain. They're just like, oh, okay, so you're in the vice principal's office. He could be like, Aisha, why'd you do that? The teacher told me everything. You don't really get a chance to explain yourself before they're like, after school detention, here's your referral. Go home. I'm calling your mom. Your mom's disappointed in you. I'm disappointed in you.
It's never what...
Like, they just go off on you. They'd be like, I'm disappointed in you. The school board is disappointed in you. The government is disappointed in you. I was like, dang, I don't even know the government. They're disappointed in me.
It's kind of like the simple fact that it's kind of not about all what, like... what you say, like, they try to treat you like they're your parents, like they are actually going to discipline you. Like, I understand, like, people
like,
have
now,
to discipline
kids
once in a while, like, if they're actually doing something like wrong.
I get it,
but
kids,
not really.
Some of the kids in our grade are wild.
The day that I got kicked out, she kicked him out too.
Yep,
he came in the office. I was like, what'd you get kicked out for? He was like talking.
Yep. I
think they want us to talk. Like, they want us to participate in the classroom, but as soon as you talk, they're like, what are you doing
no.
with your life?
And I was answering her question.
They get mad, like, bro, it's like this, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's say you didn't hear what they said, or
you
something,
say
something you want to know.
You'd be like,
so
what?
You ask somebody, you go, excuse me, what did you say?
Oh, my God, why did you ask that?
Right.
You you're not, you should be paying better attention. I am paying attention. I just didn't hear you.
You should be asking me, not her. Well, I mean,
I was like, but you're teaching the class, and I didn't want to stop the class. They don't care.
Yeah, I mean, you were busy with another student, and I didn't know.
But the new thing is, like, if a fight escalates, like, if there's a fight, then they're like, then you see the...
They don't just stop.
They'll be like, stop. But the new thing, they'll just call the school officers,
yep.
So... Nobody cares about
so,
it. Like, you wouldn't dare fight.
But
so.
Actually, they...
Otherwise, you're getting handcuffed and sent to
a lot
office.
Of them don't know this.
So this add-on, right? This kind of escalation that Yusha's talking about, right? That the increase of what are called now school resource officers, the presence of school resource officers in school. It's kind of like this new piece to all of this, right? About how things are responded to or dealt with. That's kind of a big change that's been happening recently, adding school resource officers to to schools. I know that in Greene County, the legislature just paid, just put a lot of money into increasing the staffing for school resource officers. So let's listen to some more.
Or if somebody's bad in school, there's these buttons on the classroom wall now, and it rings the office, and then all the monitors come running down the hallway.
Yep.
They'd be like, they're just running
as fast as they can go, but they actually may not know this.
I'd be like, but what if I don't want to get out my desk? They'd be like, get out your desk. I'd be like, I'm sitting in my desk. This is my desk. I'm not kidding. They'll be like, I've seen people get thrown out of their desks.
Yeah, what's kind of crazy about that is, but you know what? Like, what's crazy about the whole officers thing is like. Sometimes, like, police officers give people anxiety, and it kind of makes them scared to, like, walk in the hallway and, use the bathroom.
So, some of the...
Girls, you sleep?
Some of the special help kids are scared of the police officers, so they're not allowed to be in direct sight in the hallway anymore. So now, these guys are just in the corner, and you walk around the corner, and sometimes they just be in a little crevice. You'd be like, whoa.
You'd be like, what, man?
Like, when did you get there?
Like, no, because he'd be like this. Like, and they'd be holding his little taser, he's like this.
They just be like, they're holding their taser. They got the pistol on one side, the taser on the other side.
You got the hand on their hip. They're like,
oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
I do nothing.
This guy has a taser. And some of them look like if you even talk to them, they're just going to tase you.
They're just like, oh, you?
It's an old, trooper?
Like a retired.
Yeah.
He's retired.
Yeah, they're kind of like, the group is very diverse, like the group of officers.
Be good or die.
Yep.
Or you're like, it's be good, get arrested, get tased.
It's basically walk in the hallway, you smell like something, get searched.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a lot y'all unpacked yesterday. Mm-hmm. A lot of feels about the SROs, school resource officers.
Yes, because they look scary. Like some monitors, like we have school monitors. Like, seriously, like, they make you feel, like, I cannot use the bathroom at school. Like, they make people feel mad and uncomfortable. They'll literally go in the bathroom with you and just wait for you. I'm like, you know what? I don't got to go to the bathroom anymore.
Yeah. So it's already creating a culture of surveillance and being monitored by what are effectively police, right? I mean, they are armed, trained people who have the power to arrest and remove you.
It was a story about my cousin, like, literally this year. Teachers have stuff against him. My cousin, he hangs around kids that smoke, but he doesn't smoke at all. Like, he's never done it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess something happened. All I know is the teacher, or it was someone, they just, like, grabbed his book bag and just started, like, dumping it out, like, just, like, throwing his stuff out for no reason. He was like, what are you doing? He's like, you have stuff in here, don't you? You have marijuana. He's like, no, I don't. What are you talking about? And then they sent him to the office, and I think he got suspended. And then the high school, they have, like, a white principal, and he was like, he told my cousin, because my cousin got suspended for disrespectful or something like that. And he told him, he was like, if you come by the school, because he was me and one of his friends, he was like, if you come by the school, I'm gonna have you arrested.
Wow. Charming. All right, well, we are starting to get close to the end of our time. I want to make sure I leave enough time to play out kind of the last bit of conversation that Isha and I had yesterday, kind of asking, you know, what do we do next. So
winding down here, Our Town, Our Truth, part 2, mass incarceration, talking about the roots of a culture that likes to criminalize, punish, and
discriminate.
Yeah.
They're doing it to preschool kids, too. That's kind of... Anyway.
Right, it just gets gnarly.
Yeah.
So... as always, our hope for the show is not to leave people just feeling like everything's messed up in the world, but maybe feeling like
they could change it.
They could change it, or there's some hope in it.
I always, like, when I do the show, I always feel like we're here to inform you guys, and then you guys can help us change the way
this world is.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go through a list of people, types of people you've talked about, and you give me your quickest instinct response to how they can make a difference.
Okay.
Let's start with teachers.
Teachers could maybe have a better tolerance for the little things like breathing and dropping pencils and whatever mess they can come up with.
Guidance counselors.
They cannot give us such a textbook response.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not everything has to be done by the book.
Mm-hmm. Kids you go to school with.
It could be nicer and more aware that the world is changing. If you don't change with it, then it kind of sucks.
Kids who are intentionally disruptive and giving people a hard time.
I don't really know. Sometimes they're funny. Like, sometimes I'm one of those kids. Because, like, sometimes, like, the school just aggravates you to the point where you're like, okay, so if you're going to give me disrespect and attitude, I'm going to give it back to you. And there's no, maybe more mutual respect.
Mutual respect. I like that. What about parents?
They could be a little bit more involved in the school and know what's going on so that when the teachers and the principal and everybody go to blame people and blame kids, that they could be like, well, nah, like, it's sorted out a bit.
Mm-hmm. For some of the more serious stuff. What about for the kids who are going through an emotionally hard time and that's impacting their behavior?
Better guidance counselors and social workers, because the school makes you feel a certain way sometime, and then you kind of feel like you're being militarized?
Yeah,
is that
that's
a word?
That's a word.
Okay. Well, it's a word now, even if it was. Militarized and, like, put in a category, and so, like, you're this tall, you're in this side of the hallway, like, things like that, and you're just, like, told to be a certain way and held up to a standard, and if you're not that standard, then you're the dumb kid or the weird kid, or you're different from everybody else.
So big shout out to Isha for those words of wisdom, helping us bring it home and think about the big picture.
We're coming to the end of our time. Thank you for listening. Catch us next week and every Friday at 6 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. If you are 12 to 18 and want to get involved in programming our radio show, join us for a radio workshop at the Catskill Youth Clubhouse every Thursday and Fridays at 5 p.m. We'll finish with shout-outs. Big thank you to Wave Farm and WGXC for making this radio program possible. Juice Branch and Relish Delights, the Catskill and Hudson Youth Clubhouse, and Mental Health Association of Columbia Greene Counties for supporting this program.
I want to give a shout out to New York State for just signing into law a decriminalization bill for marijuana possession. It's now just decriminalized, which means you aren't supposed to be arrested, but just given a fine if you have possession of 2 ounces or less of marijuana. But what's particularly exciting to me is that this bill actually expunges old low-level marijuana possession crimes. So if you were convicted of misdemeanor marijuana possession, you know, in the past in New York State, you can actually go and apply to have that record expunged, which is a huge deal because, as we talked about on the show, once you have a record, it kind of sticks with you forever. 70 million Americans have a criminal record that haunts them when they try to find jobs and find housing and all this other stuff. So if that's something that can be helpful for you, definitely jump on top of looking at that. The New York State Department of Criminal Justice Services will be administering that expungement law. All right. Shout out.
My shout out is my mom, friends, and my favorite teacher from fifth grade, Miss Campbell.
Yeah, here's to the teachers who hold it down. We know there's a lot of you out there doing the best you can to make an environment where everyone can learn well. Y'all don't have all the power over some of these institutions that create problems. So want to give a big shout out to those in the school system who really are working hard to make a difference and to make it better. And with that, let us bring you home with Rhapsody, who just dropped an amazing album called Eve, but I couldn't find radio edits of the songs that I wanted to play, so we'll go to an older one, Layla's Wisdom by Rhapsody. Enjoy the rest of your Friday evening and catch us next week, WGXE 90.7 FM Clubhouse Radio.
Off.
Ooh, yeah. Look, don't worry about anything they told you. Remember what